This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I believe that real and positive immigration reform is possible as long as we focus on the following goals: to improve jobs and wages for Americans, to strengthen our nation's security, and to restore respect for our laws.
Sweet. So Donald Trump addresses both chambers of commerce. But that was a Freudian slip, of Congress. There was commerce discussed. It was on my mind. But, you know, the conversation heading into the evening was that it's not a State of the Union address. So here's the thing. Would you give him high marks for the speech? Would you poke holes in some of what the president had to say? I think it was a pretty ambitious vision that he laid out, as other people are writing about, and definitely a much softer tone. And absolutely there were moments where you could certainly argue for bipartisan support. And there were presidential moments in the speech, so much so that you have some lead Democrats who are actually reeling and saying that the way he sounded, Democrats should be very, very worried, because looking ahead to 2018, what could be a clean sweep. And while Chuck Schumer says the Democrats are done with Donald Trump, you know, it's interesting when you look at the numbers, like I said, as to what could happen in 2018, and the numbers stack up really against the Democrats when you think of the places that are up for grabs potentially for the Republicans. And I'm going to disagree with Schumer. I think that there is a great chance the Democrats having to defend 25 seats in 2018, including, count them, 10 in states that Trump won. Republicans only have 9 incumbents that are actually facing re-election. 2 of them are in swing states. That's why some top Democrats are worried. When Trump sounds good the way he sounded, then there are more people that are sitting up and paying attention to that. Depending on what happens, I think, with health care, immigration, jobs. Remember, what's in your wallet always reigns supreme, because you have mouths to feed and it's about your economic engine. And when you're a president, that has to be one of your major concerns and areas that you portray, certainly, to the American people. So I say again, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give Donald Trump for this speech? And I think it was not what people expected. You know, he opened his address by condemning the threats against Jewish community centers, vandalism at cemeteries, the shooting of the 2 Indian men in Kansas. And he said recent threats targeting Jewish community centers and vandalism of Jewish cemeteries, as well as last week's shooting in Kansas City, remind us that while we may be a nation divided on policies, we're a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all its very ugly forms. Now, he was criticized, remember, for not saying anything initially when this very first thing happened. So there was a lot of applause for that. And, you know, he spoke about the renewal of the American spirit. Now it's a waiting game as we see what's implemented and what Democrats do and what happens as we continue down the road of this presidency. But I think if you're being honest, this was a surprise speech for some people that assumed he would quotes, go off the rails. He did not do that. 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. Let's flip over to a caller. Let's go to Grim in Mississippi. Hey, Grim, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, Kate.
What'd you think?
I hope you did your homework.
I always do my homework. What'd you think of the speech?
Well, okay, I'll try and do what I said I'd do tomorrow night. But anyhow, I was laying around here and took me an afternoon nap. And I had this vision, Kate, this revelation while I was napping. And I sat there and I knew that, you know, the winds were pretty strong here. That meant the storms were going to be hitting up north. And it showed bad weather heading into D.C. And in this dream, he was giving his speech before Congress. And all of a sudden, lightning struck and the lights went out. And then all of a sudden, a lot of little flashes and firecracker sounds. And then the lights come back on, and the left side was all shot.
Oh!
Well, I think they, you know, to me, I think he needs to quit messing with them and get harsh with them. I think that's what the vision's all about. You know, I mean, these Democrats are... And more disrespectful than the Republicans were towards Obama, 10 times more.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It'd be interesting to go back and dig that up. I'd love to play the addresses, you know,
side
next
by
to
side,
each other.
They are doing it to a large extent.
Oh, wow!
I mean, you'd have to go to Mark Levin's TV program.
Oh, yeah, we can dig that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, go watch some of his and listen to what Sean Hannity... I don't get it now, but I do hear how Sean Hannity has been relating the two, you know, verbally over the air.
Right.
And I can recall it because you and I have been watching this mess for quite a while.
Yes, we have been.
And you know, all your listeners have been listening in, and they've been watching, too. And... I just hate to say it. Trump came out, like I said a few weeks ago. He came out and was as humble as he could be towards his, you know, being elected.
Right.
In his inaugural speech. You know? Nothing derogatory towards the Democrats at all.
Yeah.
Now, when it came down to business, his tweets are derogatory, but that's because he's being shot at first, you know? I mean,
right.
He has every right to answer back to something. It's the same thing with, I got a little frustrated there, but it's kind of the same thing as losing the current Secretary of State. He was just chatting on the phone with Russians, making small talk, nothing more than what they do at 5 o'clock in D.C. circuits. You know that.
Yeah.
And look how he got prosecuted. And look how they're still trying to continue it, even though they're being told by the FBI, we have researched this, and we don't find any grounds for further investigation.
Well, that's true. That's true. The FBI jumped all over that to say that's exactly right, Grim. Absolutely. Well, thanks for the call. More reaction coming up as we trail off with the me's.
Look at all the monsters on me. Take a good look at my face.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to BrightsideBend.com. That's BrightsideBend.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
So far, every Republican idea to replace the Affordable Care Act would reduce the number of Americans covered, despite your promises to the contrary.
Wow, so that was the rebuttal. That's the guy who did the rebuttal for the Democrats, Steve Beshear, who? Former governor of Kentucky. So it's like, wow, why is Beshear doing this? I didn't get it. I don't know why the ex-governor was defending Obamacare in response to the Trump speech, why he was the guy that was the rebuttal for the joint address. It didn't make any sense to me, and nobody can seem to really explain it. He said, I'm a proud Democrat, but first and foremost, I'm a proud Republican and Democrat, and mostly, and went on and, like, talked about all that kind of, you know, what went through the Trump speech. So, how about that? I mean, he was a Democrat who managed to do what some thought was impossible. He created a state exchange under Obamacare, but he's not the governor now, which is what is so crazy, that it wasn't a high-profile Democrat who was responding to Donald Trump's speech, to his address. And there were several big moments, I think, in this speech. And I'll tell you what, Trump's approval ratings, I think, will shoot up from what we've seen in these polls, for what it's worth. I think the it was a negative presidential campaign, let's face it, between the Democrats and the Republicans. And so Trump might have really pulled together the support of many Republicans, but the White House is still struggling to kind of push away the controversy and the allegations, even though the FBI says there's nothing there, between his campaign and Russia. So this will go a long way, I think, to alleviate some questions people had about presidentialness of Donald Trump, but then what happens next as we get back into the day-to-day. I don't know, pretty interesting, though. Not a real curveball, I think. I'm not completely surprised. I'm not. But I think a lot of others who were waiting to pounce were a little bit surprised. Tomas in Michigan, hello.
Hey, can you hear me now?
I hear you.
You know, usually a president does not give a speech to a joint session of Congress until he's been there a little while, you know, and then usually his first time, I believe, will be the State of the Union, is it? Because he's been there a whole year, and he tells America how the country's doing after a year, right? I mean, I'm wondering why Trump chose today to give that speech. Is he trying to preempt something? Is he trying to draw attention away from something that you know, is he continuing his attempt to dominate the media? Because, you know, he was sending out all these little messages that, oh, yeah, he was going to back off on immigration, right? And maybe he's trying to find leakers in his administration. That's all you heard today was, oh, yeah, he's going to back off. He's going to have amnesty and dreamers and all that. And he did the opposite of that.
He even said
they were going to establish a unit that concentrates on victims of illegal immigrants. And he even had those people whose children were husbands were killed by, I mean, you know, he was, so he didn't back off. I'm wondering why, because, you know, it seems to me that if he's going to do something big like that, then it should be like a big announcement, you know, like I was expecting him to say, and as we sit here today, General Mad Dog Mattis has just informed me that we have taken the capital of ISIS, you know, something like that, you know.
Right, right.
And I mean, what's going to be the headline tomorrow? I mean, what do you take away from the speech, the big apple, or the prettiest flower in that garden of a speech? What was it? I didn't really get anything that sticks out. What do you think? Does anything stick out to you in that speech?
You know, it's such a good question. Like, it's so funny that you say this, because I just had this conversation with somebody about speaking, and when you get done a speech, if they tell you, oh, that's just a great speech, that was fantastic, that speech, but they don't have a takeaway phrase, they don't remember it. I'll tell you what, he said, there were a couple things he said, and I even wrote them down that stuck out to me, but most of them, and this was the one thing that spoke out to me, I guess, where you talked about the renewal of the American spirit. The renewal of the American spirit to me was, I don't know, because it goes along with that whole thing that, oh, we're all Americans. Yes. So we see what's happening with these vandalized cemeteries, and he's addressing that, and he's talking about the Kansas City thing, but then he's recognizing the seal. I don't know, that phrase. If we're looking for a phrase that pays, that would be one of them.
Yeah, I heard. I think it was him. He said, "Once again, America is ready to lead."
And yeah, that's a good one.
You know, so maybe he's trying to establish the type of a spirit, the core of trying to elevate the pride that we have in America, and try to negate all the education that has been brainwashing our children into having them think that America is not a great country, that's been a bad country, that we've done so many bad things, you know, and instead of the spirit that made America great, you know, men on the moon, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, and you know, another thing he said that I thought was good, and just this always strikes a chord with me anyway, because it's easy to talk about and bloviate about these great grand schemes, and when you're a president or when you're running for office, of course, that's part of it. You have to be able to paint some pictures. But he said something that did stick with me when he talked about Obamacare collapsing. He said, Tomas, remember, he said, action is not a choice, it's a necessity, and I agree. It's not a choice, it's a necessity. So everything that he laid out, that's what he's saying also as part of the, you know, the renewed American spirit. Hey, this is not a choice. This is a necessity, and this is where we're going.
Yeah, I think, I think Trump is going to rewrite the book. You know, they're going to have to throw a lot of the old political textbooks out the window after this guy, because he just is doing stuff that no one else has done. And, it may be a good thing to let people see him. And he did talk about the, like you said, the Obamacare. He said they're going to maintain the precondition. The pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
And that's very difficult to do.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I got a toothache now, I'm going to get insurance. You know, I mean, if you can do that to a certain extent, you are reinventing something that's never been invented before. I mean, that's pretty tough to do. But,
Or cancer. Says, I mean, people with cancer and then reoccurring cases, worried about reoccurring cases.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
that's
huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, I mean, maybe this is what Trump wanted. Maybe this is Trump wanted us to be asking. Well, let's look at it more closely. What did he say? Yeah. Maybe that's his philosophy, his strategy. He's working with me anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think and there were themes of listen, we're together and we can do this, and there were definite areas where Democrats could not attack him. So how it comes out, how it's laid out, we'll see where it goes. But you're right,
it's all about getting American people on board and getting them motivated.
Yep, absolutely, you said it. That is the key to Moscow, like a motivational speaker. It's getting the troops rallied up. Great call, thank you. It's getting the troops rallied up, all of us feeling positive and not negative about what's happening around us, and that there is control and that there are things that can be done, and what are we doing moving forward, and recognizing people that needed to be recognized and whatnot. I don't know. And then this whole thing with the media, we'll also see where that shifts back. We'll see if he gains back some of the media that he kind of lost. And you could say, well, who cares? But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It really isn't. Because it's easy to jump. It's easy for anybody to jump on him media-wise. If the speech is just lashed with attack, 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 and this speech was not that. Thanks so much to all of you for hanging with us here on America Tonight. Awesome guest coming up next to talk about something completely different but very, very cool. Hang with us.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Listening to America Tonight, I just saw an ad for The Feud. It's a new television thing that's coming out on FX, and it's The Feud is between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, and I can't wait to introduce you to our next guest. She's in our virtual green room. Ann Chernow joins us. She's a Hollywood noir artist, so we'll find out about what that's about. And, you know, there's kind of this nostalgia now for the golden age of Hollywood. We saw what happened with La La Land, the big punch it had at the box office, and how well it did at the Oscars as well, jokes aside, with the best picture. Ann, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
So I am fascinated by the golden age of Hollywood. My mother and I used to watch movies from kind of that era, and she had great stories that her grandmother would tell her because she was fascinated by it. Explain to everybody who's listening what that means. Why is it called the golden age?
Well, it lasted from about 1927 through the end of the 60s. It's called the Golden Age because the films have become part of our American culture. They're universal favorites that really hold up after repeated screenings. I mean, look at TCM, the popularity of it. the early to late classic films, which were the golden age films, there were thousands of them made during those years. For instance, All Quiet on the Western Front was the first talkie about war, and that's become a classic. And then others, I'll name a few. It Happened One Night in 1934, 1941, The Maltese Falcon, 1942, Casablanca, 1950, Sunset Boulevard, and you know that that's on Broadway now, and it's been there over and over again through the years. That's what it means by golden years and classicism in film. And then in 1959, the great Billy Wilder film, Some Like It Hot. And a huge number of our American audience are of an age where they have not seen or grown up with the classic golden age movies, and they don't see that kind of filmmaking, the simpler cultural times. It's easy to relate to for them, and the old movies, the classic golden age movies, depict a different world from what people are living in now, and they're history lessons. They educate. All the films about World War One and World War Two. I mean, the young people today would never know what they're like if they only read about it, but they see about it, and it's constantly redone. Look at Hacksaw Ridge this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And so definitely, I think you're absolutely right that there's so many younger people who haven't seen them. And to your point, TCM, the reason that the Turner Classics are so popular, I think, is because people like those films. They really stand the test of time. So what did you think of La La Land?
It is a throwback to the Hollywood musical, but in a new way. And it was a beautiful film. There are people who are from one camp or another on it, but I thought it was really a jazzy film, not to play on words for the jazz. And I absolutely adored the scene where they danced in the stars. I mean, that is a throwback to the golden age.
Yeah, just a great job by the director, the way it was put together, all the way around that whole film. I agree with you 100%. And then we have what I teased about the feud coming up, because this interest in Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, they didn't get along very well, huh?
No, and my life is around film, and I have ties to Bette Davis because the town I live in is the town she lived in.
Wow.
I know about the feud, and that's another example of bringing back the golden age, because they were both artists who were in the movies in the golden age. But my story about Bette Davis is that she heard that I was painting her. And so she came over. And when I watched as she stepped out of the car, and she was Bette Davis. She swung her hips. She had a cigarette in her mouth. She came upstairs. Her secretary had set it up, and she came down and she looked at the paintings and she said, "Oh, you've painted my daughter, Bette." And we went upstairs and talked. And she said, in a painting that was there in my studio of Joan Crawford, "Well, who's that?" And I said it's just another star that I'm painting, and she began to talk about being her daughter would not write a tell-all book like Joan Crawford's daughter, Mommy Dearest. And then the next year, Bette Davis's daughter wrote it.
Wow, that had to be really neat to have had that conversation with her and to see that reaction.
Know, I mean, I couldn't believe she was in my studio. I just couldn't believe it. And she was alive, just like she was in the movies, whereas many other stars are different when they're not in a movie. But she was Bette Davis all the time.
Yeah. Well, and you got to see that.
There's a quote from her from the feud which airs on FX March 5th, 12th, and 19th. There's a quote from Betty Davis, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say it here, but she says, "I wouldn't piss on Joan Crawford if she were on fire."
I've heard that, yes. Oh, that's wild. So they never made up? Never?
No. I don't know if it was partially publicity or not, but I don't know about them making up. They were always feuding. And of course it revolved around whatever happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the film that they did together, that
right.
Sort of the whole thing, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, tell us about, you talked about painting, and I went and I looked at your stuff. It is marvelous. Tell us about your artwork and how that all started and celebrating Hollywood.
Well, my father was a band leader, and my mother was a singer. And they wanted to put me in their act because I had curls like Shirley Temple. And so they taught me songs, and they put me on stage one day and announced that their daughter is going to sing with them. And I took one look at the audience and screamed and ran off the set. So they put me in the dressing room with pencils and paper, and I was 3 and a half, and that's what started it. Really. I mean, I've been drawing since I'm 3 and a half. So my mother and her sisters were a big part of our household. My sisters, it's a household of women because my father was a traveling salesman after he was a band leader.
Mm.
So they took me to the movies, RKO Keith's in Flushing, which was one of the movie palaces, the red and the gold and the swans in the ladies' room and the lounges. And I got hooked. They took me when they shouldn't have taken me, when I was 9. And I got hooked immediately on the films that were called Weepies with the women. And I had never seen anything or heard anything like that. And they didn't think I was watching, but I was. And so I began to go to movies myself when I got a little older. And I began to think about them. And then I went away to college, and I forgot all about them. And then when I got out of college, where I had studied art, painting, and drawing, et cetera, I re-saw the film noirs from that era because, I was brought up on them. And then I saw at that age, like 18, 19, Laura and the Maltese Falcon. And then when I saw Double Indemnity with Barbara Stanwyck and Fred McMurray, I just fell in love.
Mm.
And I got hooked. And I started to draw about the movies. And I've never stopped.
Wow.
And
with your paintings, if I could just jump in a second. So did you have any, look, Betty Davis heard about you. She came to go and look and to see what that was all about. Did you ever have any other brushes with fame because of your work?
Well, I live in a town which is peopled with movie stars.
Mm.
And Paul Newman lived here. Sterling Hayden lived here. Robert Redford lived here. I mean, so we would just treat them as neighbors, which they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it always gave me a kick that I was working about the movies, and here I was living in a town where there were real movie stars walking around in hardware stores in Baskin Robbins. I mean, I was in Baskin Robbins one day when a woman brought a vanilla ice cream cone, and Paul Newman was standing behind her, and she was so thrilled by seeing him that she walked out of the store, and she came back in and she said to the clerk who was doling out the ice cream, "Where's my ice cream?" And Paul Newman turned to her and said, "Madam, it's in your pocketbook."
Whoops. She was very excited. Wow, this is great stuff. So, Ann Chernow, I love going back into the history books. Hang on, and we've got more coming up with Ann next on America Tonight.
By you, just you, nobody else but you. I will be loved by you alone. Boop, boop, be doo. I wanna be kissed by you just
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite.
Go to secretsignite.com.
That's secretsignite.com.
Get your free copy now.
Go to secretsignite.com.
Come on, Annie. Let's go to the movies.
Let's go see the stars.
Cowboy heroes, cops and robbers, glamour and stripes, bigger than life. Sitting in the darkness.
Is probably lying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying, while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Bracho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super.
We continue our conversation with Ann Chernow, who is a Hollywood noir artist, and of course that word is hanging out there in the balance. What is noir? I think there's kind of a throwback to noir. We've kind of talked about that through the Golden Age and whatnot, but specifically, Anne, what is noir? What are noir movies?
I focused on film noir because those are the films that speak to me. Do you know anything about them?
Yes, yeah, so, you know, in talking about that, if noir, top noir movies, you've been talking about the nostalgia for it. The true definition of it, what is it that people are missing and don't understand?
Well, film noir, the term was coined by a French critic in 1946. They were being made in Hollywood during World War II. They were being made by directors who had escaped from Nazi Germany and came here, who were already involved in the expressionistic and the psychology that are in the film noir movies. And They weren't called film noir until 1946 when they went to Europe. They weren't allowed to be in Europe during the war. And then they hit France, and this critic, Nino Frank, named it film noir, which means black film. They were just a different genre than the regular movies that the audiences had been seeing. They were filled with violence, and remember, it was during World War II.
Yeah.
Violence, sexual decadence, private eyes, hard-boiled characters with cynical attitudes, and, of course, femme fatales. And the subversive plots usually had a surprise at the end. The good guys became the bad guys, the good girls became the bad girls, and vice versa. And it was a film genre where the men were all muscle and brawn, and the women dripped rhinestones as big as doorknobs.
Wow.
And cigarette smoke was curled around them in every movie, enveloping the rooms in a hazy glow, and it was just different from anything that they had seen before. People were trapped in unwanted situations. Fate had a big part in their lives. Frequently, the audience felt that they were doomed. And the noir world was really a corrupt psychology plot without shame and had a hopeless tone. It was essentially pessimistic. And remember when it was. It was during World War II. The materials for color film were needed for war, so they had to figure out a way to make movies without these materials. And these fabulous German and Austrian and Italian directors figured out this genre, which was called, by the end of the 40s, film noir. And the actresses were repeating roles all the time. I mean, Barbara Stanwyck was an actress who was in many film noirs. I don't know if your audience knows Marie Windsor, but she was a favorite of mine, and Veronica Lake. And they repeated their roles, not the same roles, but they were the same actresses and actors in many of the films.
Yeah, Veronica Lake. A lot of people talked about Veronica Lake.
Right. And so nobody in today's audience knew about those films until they were started to be shown on TV. No film critic has ever been able to agree on the dates of film noir. Some started in the late 1930s. Some started in 1941 with Casablanca. There was a article in the Times yesterday in the book section. The headline says, "You must remember this, why we return to Casablanca." And because it's of interest to people.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's of interest. And I think we may see, too, because a lot of younger people are interested. So that also will keep it alive, I believe.
Well, at this very moment, there's college courses in film noir. There's a fabulous teacher in Ball State University, Indiana, named Richard Edwards, who teaches about film noir and who taught a course for many weeks last summer when TCM, every Friday, put on a noir festival from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 3 o'clock in the morning. I can tell you I had purple eyes.
Watching.
So Rich Edwards teaches it. There's a guy out in California named Eddie Muller who is called the King of Noir, who I met last year. He's fabulous. He puts on noir festivals all over the world.
Wow.
And he finds movies that have never been shown before. They're starting to work on repairing the old movies because they were left to molder, and so he's involved with that, as are other people. when I got interested in film noir because of my childhood, I lost my interest in movies in the 1950s, at least for my art and the movies. I still love movies. Because in the late 1950s, movie making started making bright and glossy films instead of black and white films.
Yeah, that's right. It changed.
And so, you know, it didn't interest me. And so I watch movies all the time, but my work is involved with film noir.
And I love it.
Strangely enough, when my husband died in 1997, the next year I met a movie star in town here, and we're living together now.
A movie star? So you're with a movie star. Do we know the movie star? Is it someone we know?
No, he's an esoteric star from the 70s. His name is Martin West, and he played in cult films like Lord Love a Duck and Harper with Paul Newman. And it's just very strange.
Oh,
my life took an amazing turn with him here, and we are like a pair. I mean, he makes movies now.
He makes movies. Oh,
he
that's great.
Movies. Yeah.
Wow. How fun for you.
You know, it's interesting that there's a category that's called neo-noir.
Mm-hmm.
It's written about, I mean, there's hundreds of books on the subject. All you have to do is go on Wikipedia, and you have 13 pages about film noir. But neo-noir started in the 50s when the golden age of noir ended. People agree that the last brilliant noir film was Touch of Evil with Orson Welles and Janet Leigh and Charlton Heston in 1958. That was the ultimate end of noir films. And then films were made from then on that are called neo-noir, like Chinatown.
Mm.
And I watched one last week, which is definitely neo-noir, from this year called Nocturnal Animals.
Yes, I saw Nocturnal Animals.
Well,
I agree with you.
That's a neo-noir if there ever was one. It has all the characteristics of noir, the surprise endings, the characters, the psychology, the murder, you know, the detective. Michael Shannon played a great noir detective.
No kidding. He absolutely did. I could talk to you all day. Anne Chernow, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We appreciate it. You're a treasure. We appreciate you.
Watch noirs.
We will absolutely watch it. No question about that.
Thank you.
And thanks to everybody for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
On the street glistens like the stars in the sky. The frost crimsons every car that drives by with ice and I. No, those old black and white movies were true.
Answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.